You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
John 15. Have you turned there? Have you got there? Turn with me to John 15. Tracy quoted John 14. Let's just get into John 15. Now, having said all that, and just bring us down to this point, we resist in the faith. 1 Peter 5, 9 tells us that. And the Bible tells us, having done all to stand, Ephesians 6, 13. And then in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus talked about a wise man that heard his sayings and did them. And the rains came and the floods came and the waves came and beat on that house. And when it was all over, the man still standing. Why? Because he did the word. See, you withstand or resist temptation by doing something. You don't resist it just by sheer force of will. You don't do it by yourself alone. No, you do it in the faith. You do it having done all, stand. And that having done all, in context, Ephesians 6, was put on the whole armor of God. Are you with me? And then having done everything you know from the Word, just stand there. A lot of people say, well, I'm just standing. They say, well, you ask them what they're standing on, they don't know. And then you say, well, what have you done? Well, I haven't done anything, I'm just standing. No, the Bible doesn't say stand, it says having done all, stand. As soon as you already done something, hopefully you've prayed, hopefully you got in the Word, and in the faith you've resisted the devil, and you've heard the words of Jesus, you've done the words of Jesus, now you're standing there, the storm's coming, but you'll still be standing when it's over because of your Christian faith, your active life of serving God and praying and doing the Word. Amen? Okay. Now that's good news, because that means any of us can make this happen if we'll trust God. This is not mind over matter. This is not Christian science. This is not just positive attitude. This is hooking up with God. This is God's power, God's strength, God's ability, and us overcoming with Him working in our lives, in the faith, with His armor on, doing the words of Jesus. Y'all see that? See, that takes it out of the realm of just individual personalities or individual demeanors or individual boldness or lack thereof. You know, everybody's different. And some people are stronger than others, naturally speaking. But we're not talking about you and me. We're talking about what God can do in us if we'll trust Him. Amen. And any of us can trust Him. Yeah. No matter what walk of life we came from, no matter how old we are, no matter what our family was, is, or will be, or, you know, what matters is if we trust God, God will undergird us. God will fight our battles for us. Are you with me? God will help us and He will strengthen us. And really, that's the point I want to make tonight and want to minister on, is that you are not alone. You have never been alone since the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have never one day of your life been alone. You've never been in a battle or a trial where you were by yourself. Now, you might not have taken advantage of the fact that you had someone there with you called Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, but you were not alone nonetheless. And that's good news. I'm not alone. And you know, I'm never alone. I'm never alone even if I'm not married. I'm never alone if I'm single. I'm never alone even if I'm separated from Brenda for whatever reason geographically. That would be the only reason, because we are stuck forever. We love each other. Amen. But I'm never alone when I'm seemingly alone, because the Lord's with me. Amen. Isn't that good? So now notice this. What Jesus says here, and it's a truth we need to get hold of. He kind of starts out with getting the message straight concerning our power, our ability, our might. In John 15:5, this is he talks about vines and branches and how He's the vine. Notice in the 5th verse, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now see, that takes it right out of the realm of New Age thinking, Eastern mind science, cult teaching, Christian science, human will, human spirit, sheer force of the will. Oh, no. That's not what we're teaching. No, we've never taught that, never believed. We do not believe that. We believe that we do what we do by the power of God. We do what we do by the Word of God. We do what we do with Jesus. Hallelujah. Without Him, we can do nothing. I've seen what I can do without Jesus. I do not want an encore. Let the curtain fall. I have my last play. I want to start this over with Jesus. Amen? Because I was a complete flop without Him, and so were you. But hey, the good news is you're not without him now. You were without hope, without Christ, without God. But now you are with Christ, with God, and with hope. Hallelujah. Because nothing's hopeless with God. And no one's helpless with God. And see, that's where we are now. And that's what Jesus is saying. Stay hooked up close to him. It really is just reiterating the same point that we see in 1 Peter 5:9, where he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, resist the devil in the faith, in the faith, in the faith. Stay hooked up in the faith. Amen. See, stay in the Word, stay prayed up, stay live holy, all those kinds of things. Put all that together, do the Word. Do the Word. Now you can accomplish something, because without him, you can do nothing. But if you stay hooked up in the vine, hear the words of Jesus and do them. Now listen closely. The battle will come. The wind's going to come. It's going to blow. But you know what? I've heard the wind blow before. That's an old saying, you know. And we can still be standing when it's over. And the big bad wolf can come and he can huff and he can puff and he can try to blow my house down, but he can't do it. No. Because my house is built on doing the Word.
Amen.
And I'm not alone in this house. Hello? I'm hooked up in the vine. And I'm not without Christ. Without him, I can do nothing. But you know what? With him, I can do all things. Amen. And that's what the Scripture tells us. So here he says, Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. Keep that in mind. You're not the vine. You know, I've said that often. There's a t-shirt years ago. I heard this or saw this t-shirt back when crystals were real popular, and I guess they're still popular in the New Age movement, you know. New Age. And remember Shirley MacLaine out on a limb? Well, she was out on a limb, that's for sure. She'd already sawed that thing off and on her way down. But, I mean, the weirdest stuff comes out of Hollywood. But anyway, you know, crystals, well, everything was crystal this, crystal that. And there was this t-shirt. It says, in this New Age, there are two things that are crystal clear. Y'all remember me sharing this example, and on the back it says, number one, there is a God. Number two, you are not him. Hello. I love that t-shirt. It's a good Christian t-shirt. And that's what we've got to get figured out here. I am a branch, but I'm not the vine. I'm a Christian, but I'm not Christ. Meaning I need him. I need to hook up, stay hooked up. I can't prosper outside of him. You know, if you look at a fire, it's real simple. You see all these hot coals. And it's always a good example. A lot of times people do this at youth retreats or whatever when they camp out or they roast marshmallows and sing Kumbaya around the fire and all that stuff, you know. Hello. I've seen youth leaders do this, and I've heard this example many times, but if you'll take one of those coals and just pull it out away from the fire, let it sit there, it'll finally just go out. It'll go out because it's not close to the source. And see, you got to stay, if your strength is in Jesus, you got to stay close to Jesus to stay strong. And the fire will die out as you move away from him, see. So put it back in there. And I love this analogy too. The fire of God is the kind of fire that burns at a distance. It won't burn you at all if you get real close. Are you with me? In fact, the ones that are burning the most, they're the furthest away from God. It's a place called hell. So the consuming fire of God is a wonderful thing for us. It consumes sin, but it's comfortable when you serve him. It's sweet. It's the anointing's a wonderful thing, and the love of God, the compassion of God, the closer you are to him. He may be a consuming fire, but he only burns at a distance. It doesn't burn real close. You get up close, you're okay, you know. That's good, isn't it? Okay, so he says, without me you can do nothing here in John 15, verse 5. Now, turn over to Philippians 4. Now, you know, this is just Christianity 101. I mean, these are scriptures, verses that many of you should be able to quote and should know very well. Do what? Making comments here, okay. Do I have a piece of fuzz on my leg somewhere? Okay. Is this bothering you? Okay, all right. Brenda, when I get home, she'll say, you know, the whole time you did that, you know, this was hanging out over here, or that was hanging out over here, or your hair was out of place, or... Okay, Philippians 4, but none of these things move me. That's what Paul said. None of these things move me. Okay. Philippians 4, 13, you know it well, you can quote it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I had somebody say one time years ago, says, I can do all things. They didn't quote the rest of the verse. And I said, through Christ who strengthens you. And they go, oh, yeah. Well, no, oh, yeah, that's the whole point of the verse. You can do what you do in all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't think you can make it on your own. You cannot do that. No, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need His Word. I need to pray. I need to live holy, live right. These things we talk about as Christians and you see in the Scripture, it's not because God just loves to order people around. It's just He knows that we need His power and we need His strength to make it. He wants to give it to us, but we're going to have to come to Him to get it. Amen? I mean, God can't give you strength outside of Himself because there is no strength outside of Him. Y'all getting the point? Why can't we just have peace without God? Because there is no peace without God. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Why can't I just be happy without the Lord? Because there is no happiness out there without the Lord. That's in Jesus. That's that peace, joy, all those things, that's in Jesus. Only way you can get it is get in Him. And get Him in you. See? It's just not out there. God didn't design the world in such a way where you could just be fulfilled without Him. Because you can't be fulfilled without Him. He is the end of all desire. He is what we've been looking for all of our life. He is where our strength and our peace and our joy and everything is. So, having said that, we ought to get hooked up. Amen. Stay hooked up. Stay hooked up into the vine as branches. And yes, make our confessions of faith, always junctured with through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We're not doing what we do just by positive attitude, just by positive confession, just by, I said many times here, sheer force of will, the human spirit. Oh, no, not at all. We're doing this by the power of God. We're doing this by His Word. We're doing this with His name. Amen. And really, He's doing it in us. So He gets all the glory and He gets all the honor. Amen. But the good news in all this is, praise God, hallelujah, I'm not alone. Amen. When it looks like I'm tapped and I'm just a shell of a man that I was the day before, the tragedy, the crisis is overwhelming. It seems like I can't make it. I can't stand. I can't get through it. You know what? I can call on God. Hallelujah. I am not alone. I can draw strength from heaven. I can draw strength from Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good news. You say, well, I'm just not that strong. Well, you don't have to be. He is. Well, I've got such a burden. Well, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that. So you get a revelation of this, that you are not alone. You know, the Bible says of Abraham in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. I love that. I don't know, that just burns me every time I think about that. How did he make it through all he went through? 40 years, you know, raised up in Pharaoh's court. 40 years keeping sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. No, I'm not talking about the Beverly Hillbillies. I'm talking about Moses. Father-in-law's name was Jethro. He was a Midianite. 40 years out there, and then he's 80 years old, and God calls him to go set the children of Israel free. And then he has to mess with them for another 40 years in the wilderness because of their sin. You think, how in the world he did it? The Bible says he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He had his focus right. He saw the Lord. He drew strength from God, and he had a fixation on Him. He had a heart for God. David was a man after God's own heart. You know, you ought to have a passion for Jesus and a heart for God. And consciousness of Him, an awareness of Him, you know, that He's there, that He doesn't leave you. You know, when you get there, God got there. You're not God, but He's in you. Hello? When you arrive, He arrived. You never outran Him. You didn't get there before He did. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's property, basically what it's saying there. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You house Him. He walks in you. You are His modus operandi, as they say, base of operation. You are how He moves. You are His hands, His feet. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen. And He flows in you, and He walks in you. And He is your God and you're His people. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. So I'm never alone. I'm never alone. Even when I feel like I'm tapped, I'm out, I'm bereft, I'm empty, I'm a shell, I can't take another phone call, are you with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I'm weak, He's strong. Ooh, hallelujah. Boy, that's good. That's good stuff. That's better stuff than y'all are amening. Now, 1 John 4, I mentioned this really in passing just a while ago. Here's the scripture that just pins it. 1 John 4. Notice what it says here. And it's interesting. He talks in this fourth chapter about these about the last days and trying the spirits and so on and how there the spirit of Antichrist is now in the earth and so on and so forth. In the fourth verse, he doesn't say that to scare us. We shouldn't be afraid of the devil. 1 John 4, verse 4, he says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." King James says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Somebody's in me. Let's not think we're empty here. Come on. Don't think you're walking around empty. Somebody's in you. According to the Scripture, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's God's word on the matter, and I've never been alone anywhere I went. That'll make you think about what you watch with your eyes, what you say with your lips, and what you do with these hands. Are you with me? Make you want to live holy, but on a positive note, too, you know, it'll make you live holy, but also ought to give you strength and encouragement that you can make it. That you can get through this trial, you can get through this test, you can get through this valley, you can get through this crisis, you can make it because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You're not alone. All without him you can do nothing, but you know what? You're not without him. That's what's so good. I'm not without him. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior some 31 years ago, and I have never been alone since. Ooh, hallelujah. I've never faced a trial my whole life as a Christian. I've never faced a trial as a Christian alone. Never, ever, ever. Never faced temptation alone. Tempted to do anything. Never, ever. Not by myself. No, God was always there. Didn't always tap into it. Didn't always call him, but he was there. Hello. And if I went under, it wasn't his fault. It was mine. If I gave in and fell, it was pride. It wasn't him. Pride goes for destruction. A haughty spirit goes for a fall. When you start trying to handle things on your own, you do mess up. But see, we don't have to handle things on our own anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, glory to God. I mean, that's power. See, and that's what he says in Ephesians 6. A couple more verses here I want to get to, and I'd like to get to one of the Psalms if we have time. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Is this helping you? Amen. See, this takes it out of the realm of big shots, stars. There are no big shots and stars. There's one star's name is Jesus. There's no big shots in the body of Christ. There's just all of us. All of us together making this happen by believing God and trusting God. He's the big shot. He's the star. And He's in all of us. He's in every single one of us. He's with us on the job. He's with us in our homes. He's with us as we leave here, you know, as Christians, as believers. You know, we often hear this too. People say, well, you know, Father, we ask that you go with us as we go. You don't have to ask God to do that. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the earth." That's a religious prayer. We often pray that. But honestly, scripturally speaking, the Bible says without a doubt that he is with you wherever you go. "Lo, I'm with you always. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." So why would you say, "Lord, don't leave me"? He just said, "I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." One thing you can count on when all forsake you, he won't. Whew. My. Isn't it great to belong to God? That's a wonderful thing. You know, I remember I was working in a chemical plant one time in Angleton, Freeport. I worked all over the Houston area. I worked for years in chemical plants and built industrial cooling towers. I worked for a company that built these. It's like a huge radiator they use actually to cool chemicals and plants and a lot of equipment in these huge plants. And sometimes I worked on top of skyscrapers. They put them on the top of buildings. They used to have water-cooled systems quite a bit, but they still use them in chemical plants a lot. Well, I was on this job, and I was down in Freeport. Yeah, Freeport is one of the Dow chemical plants, A plant or B plant. I don't remember which one. I want to make sure I get it right because you're taking notes. But I was in one of those plants working, and we took breaks in the morning breaks. In the evening, And they would just take a break, and the smokers would have a designated place where they could go smoke, you know, because you had to have a break room for that. By law, they just couldn't go out there in the middle of the plant and do it. And man, you had, you know, some of these plants, you had gas masks on, and you know, your helmets and everything. You just load down all kinds of stuff, and it was kind of nice to have a break, you know, because you work a couple hours to take a break. And I came down with the crew, and they were going to the break room, and I always stood around the outside because I didn't smoke and wasn't interested in it. But I was a Christian. I'd been saved a couple of years by that time, I think. And God had been dealing with me. He was dealing with my heart and pulling and tugging at my heart, you know, to minister and do something. And I didn't understand all that. I didn't know, you know, what was going on. But that I remember, I never will forget that day. I stepped out of the cooling tower and I took off my tool belt and I set it over to the side and I was walking. I kind of got behind the guys and just for a moment, and it was just one of those spiritual things, you know, you never forget. And I just heard the voice of God, and it was two words. He says, "You're mine." And it was a deep thing in me that I realized, you know, and I knew that, but I mean, God was just saying, "You belong to me." That's a good thought.
Yes.
Are you with me? It was a good word. I mean, I'm still chewing on that word. That was years ago. That I belong to God. But you know what? That means He backs me, and He stands behind me, and He is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and He leads me, and He guides me, and He supports me, and He will not forsake me. He will not forsake me. Never, never. I belong to somebody. That means something in a marriage when you belong to somebody. That means you stand behind each other. Well, we belong to God. We're not alone. I've drawn strength from that so many times. You know, and then of course, that being the case, sometimes He tells us to do things. You need to better listen up. Better listen up, better do them. Amen. I mean, I remember another time I was in a center. I had bought a house and 2 acres of land and out in the country down a dirt road, big oak trees. And then I bought 3 more acres on the back of it, and I was putting up a big fence. And I was by myself. I'd borrowed my dad's truck. We were living in Houston. On weekends, I'd go up and try to work on a place. And we were up, and I was building this fence. And I had dug this big hole, put this cross tie in, you know, for a corner. And I was tamping it. You know, I don't know if you know anything about fences. You know, you put the cross tie in, then you fill the dirt in, you start tamping it, and then you put some more dirt in. Usually do a hoe handle or something. I had a hoe handle, and I was just tamping it. The sun was going down, and I was by myself. I was just kind of out of breath. I'd worked real hard that day. I'd pulled that cross tie out, set it in there myself, you know. And I was looking back at the house that we had there. And it was a little log barn there. And I was thinking of, I was going to add on the back of it. Yeah, it's going to be good. I was down in Houston going to Lakewood Church, up visiting in center, working on my place, you know. Life is good. And I was just tamping that cross tie. I had the hardest time sharing these things. And I looked out across there, and the sun, the cool breeze started blowing, you know. The sun was going down, and I had these big plans. And, yeah, I heard the voice of God. And it was real simple. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but I needed to hear it. It melted me. He says, "No, son, I got other plans for you." That's all he said. He just said, "No, son, I have other plans for you." And it just broke me. I went right there. I cried. I was by myself. I tamped that post. I got in Dad's truck. I left, and we never moved up there. And I sold that place.
It was a down payment
we used to buy our house here. But, I mean, I didn't know it then. You know, at the time, God doesn't show you everything. He just gives you little bits and pieces. But you know what? You belong to Him. And He is your shepherd, and He is your guide, and He is your leader. He's the one who tells you what to do. You better listen to Him when He tells you what to do. Okay, one more, and I got to quit. I'm really going over my short sermon time. Turn to Psalms 121. We'll close out with that. And I don't apologize for being emotional. I am emotional. That's just the way I am. And it's just the way I'm geared, and the older I get, the worse it gets. So just deal with it. Hello. All heroes in the Bible, do you know they cried? Did you know how all heroes in literature cried? Big burly men would cry when they'd leave their family to go fight, and they'd cry when they'd have a victory, and they'd cry when their babies are born. You will not find any time in history where real men didn't cry and weren't ashamed to cry in front of people, except in this stinking country the way they did it the last 100 years. What's the deal with this country? I shouldn't say it's a stinking country. I love this country. Thank God for the United States of America. But it's wrong. We have made it wrong for a man to cry. Hello. And you won't find that in history, in all of history. If you don't believe that, you don't read much. Okay, so I feel justified now. I've cried, and I'm a man. Okay.
You're the man.
A man. Okay. Psalms 121. Helps my ego, I don't know. Psalms 121, we'll close out with this, 8 verses. Listen to what he says. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Everybody say help.
Help.
See, God helps us. We are not alone. God helps us, and that's good. And you keep your eyes up in heaven. You keep your eyes, you know, your mind on heavenly things, as it were. Your help comes from God. Help comes from God. Not pain, not hurt, not tragedy, not test. No. Help comes from God. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. It's like that lady said, Lord, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but I know if I was up there and you were down here, I'd sure help you. Hello. Help comes from heaven. And God's not going to forsake us or leave us. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I love this one. You got a problem? Go to bed. God's going to be awake all night. No sense in both you staying up about it. He'll stay up all night long. You don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of it. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Isn't that good? And he says, the Lord is your keeper. 5th verse. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve or keep you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve or keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. God is a help, and He is a strength, and He is a comfort. Oh, without Him you can do nothing, but I'll tell you what, through Christ you can do all things. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.